Thank you. The recordings are started. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 17th of May, we have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Jenny Benjema, Boudouin Chombé, Alan Greenberg, Olivier Crétin-Leblanc, Dave Kisundoyal, Evan Leibovich, Andrew Mack. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies noted from Sintra Suknanan, Alex Gakuru, Dev Anand Tiluk Singh, Carlos Aguirre, Tony Harris, John Rahman Khan. And if I could please also remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela. Thanks for everybody to join this today call. Starting with the agenda, is there any comment? Okay, hearing none. So, I think we will start with an update from Alak and Chinesu after that we sent a report last week. So, for Chinesu, I can't talk about that. There was some question and debate in the Chinesu council list about the sending of the report, and they raised some issues, and we got some questions that I forward them to the working group list. Then we will work on them in the next item. But for the update from the ALAC, maybe Olivier can volunteer for that to give us some update from the ALAC.
Yes, thank you, Rafik. We received the report from the JAS working group, and thank you very much. It was well received by the ALAC. It was reviewed, and that was forwarded over to the board in time for them to be able to consider this subject during their board retreat, which takes place on the 20th and the 21st of May. Now, whether there will be some feedback on that and whether the subject will be on the agenda is something we don't know about. But what I do know is that several board members have already read through, had a first read through of the report. Some board members actually are part of the JAS working group, so they kind of had an advanced look at it. But others who were not part of the working group had a first read, and I understand that the process is on its way. So I just hope and look forward to receiving more feedback. Thanks.
Thank you. My understanding, there was like a comment period from the at-large community, but is there some question from the at-large about the report that we need to answer them in the working group or not?
There was indeed a comment period. A few points were made, but nothing to change so much. There are some questions. Perhaps some of my colleagues would like to bring them forward.
We have Ivan in the queue. Ivan, please go ahead.
Actually, I just wanted to talk a little bit to the process of this because of the very, very compressed timelines. There are comments being made, but at the same time, there's also an ALAC vote going on. And as a result, the documents on which those votes are happening really can't be changed at this time. So what I personally see happening is that all the comments that are being received, including some of the ones that have come from the registry constituency and so on, these are all going to be extremely useful to us going forward. But to a certain extent, the need or the desire to have something in front of the board before it meets in Turkey, as well as before in front of the GAC as it continues its deliberations, the speed with which these things had to be done almost required that there be a very, very bare minimum of an ability to actually have comments make their way into the report. So while this is all being taken and this is all absolutely valid and necessary, the effect that it's going to have on the current document called the Second Milestone Report is probably going to be minimal.
Thank you, Evan. We have Alan and then Tijani. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, to answer the specific question, I don't think there were any ALAC or large issues that require the working group to answer at this point. There were some expectations implied in the comments for what happens next. In terms of the comments that have been raised largely through the GNSO, but there may be others also, I'm not sure, I would say none of them are going to affect the report. The report is issued. You know, for better or worse, that report is what it is. However, in terms of getting any action out of the GNSO, I think the quicker we can have some summary answers to the specific questions, even if they are, yes, this is an area we're working on, I think that would be a good thing. If they could be ready by this Thursday when there's GNSO meeting, so much the better. But regardless, I don't know what our expectation is of expecting action out of the GNSO, and I will not be so impolitic as to comment on that. But without answers to the questions that have been raised by GNSO counselors, I think we're not in a strong position. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. About the GNSO, yes, I agree. That's, I think, the main idea for having this today's call is if we can summarize all our response before the GNSO Council. Maybe we can move forward and in the next call, in the GNSO next call. Otherwise, maybe the motion for approving the report from GNSO site will be deferred or will take more time. Tijani, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. I will not make comments. I made comments as soon as the report have been sent to the chartering organization, because section 3.2 have been modified fundamentally, very very deeply, if you want, and it was modified without any discussion in the group, without any read of it in the group. And I understand why, because Eric submitted it very late, and it was modified like this. But I have a lot of concern about this section, especially our work, our main work, as per our charter, is to give ways to recognize the needy applicants. And this section treats this point exactly. And in this section, we put some objective matrix that was changed in subjective matrix at the end. And it's very. I have a big concern, and I don't want to comment on it because it's too late. Nothing can be modified now. But in the future, I do hope that we consider this point very very seriously.
Tying to that, just this milestone report, and we are going to have the final report. So we are going, I think, to review some points and also having more community feedback, so we can change that and continue again the task and our charter. So this issue can be fixed. So we have Carlton, Olivier, Clue, and Alan. Carlton, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say one thing about the major points raised, questions raised, seem to be about the metrics and how we qualify. I am very concerned that if any metric you put up is going to be shut down, and so I am not opposed to having just a number there, because I don't think there is any real great basis to determine how you're going to decide who is going to get support based on a number. I don't think it is something that one can expect. It just seems, and I notice that every time you ask persons who don't like the number you put, to suggest a new number, they skirt that issue. I still believe that it is the numbers, the metrics, that's going to be the real issue, and that's what they're going to use to shoot this down. I don't believe ever the people who are complaining about it ever have a clue or would even want to offer one. So, you know, this to me has always been a political thing. It's not gonna change. So we can make a good effort to get this metric in, but please understand that it will always be attacked by the interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Actually, I note in the chat that Alan mentions he has a point of order. I just wonder whether that's not over.
Okay.
Very quickly, I was going to say that the lesson from Tijani's comment was that we need to remember the time schedule, Ron. Last time, it wasn't until the last two meetings that we actually started focusing on the report that we knew had a deadline. And I'm afraid we're doing it again here. We're starting to talk about the substance of the individual, the merits of individual things in the report, instead of focusing on the particular comments, the questions that were raised that we're trying to answer with a specific time deadline in mind, which I think was the item on the agenda. So
yes.
Let's keep focused on what we have to do, not go back and answer the longer-term questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Olivier,
actually, having just heard Alan's point of order, I think I'll defer. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah.
Thank you, Rafiq. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I just wanted to come back to the metrics and questions issue, so I'm not out of order, Alan. I don't actually remember the charter specifically requiring metrics for what constitutes an underserved internationalized domain name or language. It doesn't. I think we need to look at the response to the questions from the GNSO Council sent by their chair to the work group via our chairs. They have responded. I think they responded perfectly reasonably. And there's been a follow-up question, at least in the emails I've read, that indicated that there was still this metrics issue looming over our heads. I'm unsure that the metrics issue needs to loom over our heads in terms of the second milestone report. The second milestone report, I think, dealt with quite adequately, although perhaps not far enough and with enough process and due diligence that some of us would have desired if we'd have gone on to our job a little bit earlier. But that said, it did go to giving substantive information to the board and indeed the Government Advisory Committee in terms of criteria, and that was the primary time critical stuff we needed to do on the second milestone report. There is more work to do. We recognise that. And perhaps if we choose, we could take up this matter of metrics. There's a difference between metrics and criteria, and perhaps in response to the "but what are the metrics" plea from voices in one of the chartering organisations at least, we could say back to them, can you please define what you think is the difference between criteria and a metric? Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, so I think we should really mostly have 40 minutes left in the call, and I think we should move to the question part and start working on them. We got some response, I think, from Tijani, Eric,
Sintra,
and Evan. Yeah, I like it, the reply of Evan. I'm not sure how to... we don't have this question in the... And Adobe Connect, but if you can check them in the emails, I just...
Um,
Gisela, Kaveh, is it possible to put them in the Adobe Connect?
This is Carla, Rafiq. I'm happy to do that as well. I'm just trying to identify the email.
Yeah, thank you. replying to the to answering to the Carlton, how to say Carlton question in the chat. Yes, we should reply to that clearly because we. Okay. So we should reply to it too. Just in the meantime, till that we have the questions in the Adobe Connect, how do you think that we should proceed? For writing like a summary, is for example the script team want to do that, or should we and Carlton do that? So to some, to get all the response from the working group and then to compile them and then just to check with the working group before sending them to the Genesis Council, because we don't have so much time. It should be done, I think, in the council call is in the, in Thursday, so we have just 2 days to do that. So how do you think that we should proceed? Okay. Yeah, we have the question now on the...
Rafiq, this is Carla speaking. I posted the questions.
Okay, thank you, Carla. So that the Carlton asking if staff can compile the answer in one place for review. Carla, can you please do that?
I'm sorry, could you go again?
It's the question in chat from Carlton that he asking if the staff can compile the answer in one place for review.
Yeah, so I'll take the note.
Yeah, thank you. Andrew, please go ahead.
Rafiq, I guess I'm a little bit confused. We're trying to, what I heard you say, just let me make sure I'm understanding correctly. What I heard you say was that we're trying to respond within the next 48 hours to the questions that have been put forward by the GNSO, that we're going to be pulling together all of those questions and that we're going to need to figure out who from which part of our working group is going to respond and how we're going to make everyone comfortable with that response before sending it out. Is that the question?
We got some answer from the some working groups members, but I think it will be a reply from the working group. So we need to work. And
so we need to create a time certain then by which people need to respond. So something needs to go out, say today, that people have, you know, 24 hours to respond to. That make sense? Or put differently, is that what you are proposing?
Yeah. So to work. Okay. Just Carlton. Maybe he wants to reply to that. Carlton, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Carlton. Yes, Andrew. The thing is that there are some working group members have already replied, and there are several replies. They tend to be in the same area, but with slight variations. I think it would be useful if we just take the questions, compile the questions in one place, take the answers from the different working group members, put them in one place, and let us look at them and see if we can prepare a composite answer that everybody will agree. And we can do that by the end of day and have it on the list. That's why I've asked staff if they could compile it for us.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so let's start, I think, with the first question from the registry. It's about 3.3.2. What's the question? How is this? know about the financial need. Any comment on that from people that they couldn't send their answer to the mailing list? We try to put some answer. I'm trying to find the answer of, I think, Eric. Sorry, can you hear me well?
I can hear you. There's also some noise in the background.
Mm-hmm. I got the same thing.
That's me. I'm sorry. There's a helicopter in my area. Let me just put on good news.
Heavens above, Carlton. They finally tracked you down, have they?
Yeah, exactly right. It's the famous black helicopters, right?
Ah, oh, dear. That's the special team coming to visit. Ah, oh, dear.
Okay, so please, do you have any comment about the first question?
About the rationale of the amount mentioned in the report?
This, I think, it's the second question. The first question is related to the
Understand the language?
No. The first question is how it's about in the point 3.2. It's about this applicant must capable to have contributed 45,000 towards ICANN application fee unless ICANN waives and lowers, and where applicants anticipate scheduled fees such an extended evaluation, etc. So the question: how was this determined? Is this sufficient to demonstrate viability? Some explanation of the working group thinking on this would be helpful. Okay. So if there is no... Shira, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Shira Langdonor for the record. I think we need to recognise what the purpose of the exercise is here in terms of responding to individual questions. You're not, as a working group, being called to task by any part of the ICANN community other than your chartering organisations. Therefore, out of courtesy and out of due process and on the basis of good accountability and indeed reasonable transparency, we need to respond, reply, or in some way, shape or form deal with the comments that have come in on the current second milestone report. So things such as how is it determined, the discussions that went on in the working group looked at, they established in what was the basis of their experience and opinion, a base level which would indicate sufficient financial viability as to not be a less than startup, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we don't have to slit our wrists and worry too much over this. Is it sufficient to demonstrate viability? I believe we had significant discussions about the outcomes and the viability on the amount of money actually spent on, for example, AdaptCat GTLD. And that's all we need to say. In fact, we could say to some of these questions, we considered it and this is what we thought. These are not your masters. These are a group of comments. answer them, deal with them, respond to them, give them all credit where credit is due, absolutely, right? But please don't take so much time responding to whoever's tugged on our choker chain that we don't get on to the next part of our work. Thank you.
I really like your comment, Jerry. Thank you very much for that. Okay. I think, Carla, did you take note of that?
I took a short note saying that answers need to be provided, but they should not drive our work. Is that an accurate representation?
You're far more politic than me, Carla. And if you'd like to go back, if at any point someone wants to go back to the transcript, they can use my quotes in terms of how we determined how 45 was established. We discussed it. We thought it was a fair call. It was based on some experience, such as a dot cat. And, of course, the more perhaps reactive way of responding to that was any additional information that may come forward by those who have better information on what actually demonstrates financial viability for running a GTLD registry should do come forward and let us know.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think we can move to the next question about the is the $45,000 amount and is an annual figure, and it might make up a very small percentage of operational costs. Any comment on that?
I think my previous comments were relevant there too. It might make up a small percentage of annual costs, or in the case of .cat, for example, it's in excess of it, therefore.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again, Cheryl. Okay. So, I guess that you can also move to the... it would be really easy if we can keep doing that. The next question. I think this is about the basis for the $40,000 amount. I think we give some rationale about that, or we need to clarify more?
I think we could probably cluster those. Sorry, just to jump in, Cheryl, for the record, just in case the transcriptors think I'm still Rafiq. We can cluster the responses to all things to do with the baseline $45,000 contribution towards the ICANN application fees. And I think that would be a reasonable way forward for anything else that comes in comments where we can cluster them together. That would be good. The essentials are we recognise the commenters, we respect and recognise the comments, and we respond to them as a working group to indicate that we have considered them, and indeed, if it's a matter of explaining how we came up with the particular issue in the first place or the recommendation in the first place, we let them know.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any further comment, guys? Okay.
Sorry, I didn't understand that last question.
I said any further comment
in
what
Sorry.
You're saying, or if you want to add something.
Rafiq, this is Carla speaking. I am trying to draft the questions on the notes. I don't know if you are able to see.
The question, did you find the response from Eric, I think, and Central? Can we put them too? Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We can see the updates in the Adobe Connect. Thank you, Carla, for that. Okay. The next question is it's about 4.1.1 about cost reduction. The question is if these registry funds are actually needed at the amount estimated, where would the deficit come from?
Rafiq, can you post that question? It's Andrew, I'm sorry.
The question is in the Adobe Connect. Can you see them?
On the top right side.
I'm in Adobe Connect and not seeing it.
Top right side, scroll down to just about the middle.
It's in the 4.4.1.1 cost reduction.
Got it. Thank you. My apologies. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I thought that I can move and then you can see just, so it's... Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm saying to Ivan, question, I don't think that Eric is here. Okay, I think there is an echo. Okay, I don't think Eric is here, but yeah, we can add his answer to the... add his answer and then to see how we can mix them with the answer from the working group now. That's why if it's possible to put his answer too, so it will make more easy to check. Okay. Could you see the question if these contingency funds are actually needed at the amount estimated? Where would the deficit come from? Any comment on that?
Sorry.
Sure, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm still breathing.
Hopefully. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I've got two answers to that. I don't have Eric's answers in front of me, so I really can't comment on those. Regarding the $100,000, that item was explicitly removed from the charter from both organizations. So we shouldn't have even put it in the report. That is, we were told that is something we shouldn't be looking at, and simply saying ICANN should do it, I think, was a mistake, and just asking for that kind of question. But it's too late to fix that right now. Regarding the second one, the answer is yes. The deficit will have to come from the rest of the from the overall pool, if indeed we lower the cost for something, and if ICANN was correct in its estimation that lowering the cost to a small number of recipients will increase the cost to others by some smaller amount. That's simple mathematics. They may not like that answer, but that's the reality.
Thank you, Alan. Any comment on that? Carla, did you get the comment from Alan?
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to get the comments from Eric on the screen so everybody could take a look. I'm sorry for that, Alan.
I'll repeat it again. In answer to the second one, that if we reduce the cost for some applicants, where will the deficit come from? The answer is, if ICANN was correct in its estimate of the overall costs, then lowering the cost to some will raise the cost to others. Assuming the number of people we lower to is small, then the cost increase will be a smaller amount for the rest. but that's simple mathematics.
Thank you, Adam. Sure, please go ahead.
Must be cost recovery and was, then lowering one raises another. That's, I don't think there's any way out. Thank you.
Okay.
Just to follow on from Alan, of course, should indeed any windfall from any auctions in the new GTLD process be able to be utilised, it could be from that source that the compensation, in inverted commas, for such shortfall be sought.
Thank you, Cheryl, but I thought that we drop out auction from our charter.
We removed the word,
well,
not the concept.
We dropped it from the charter in terms of exploring how that could be managed, but it was certainly mentioned in the milestone report.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll point it. It still is in the ALAC charter. We rewrote it to not use the word foundation.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
proceeds
you.
From auction is different necessarily from foundation, because foundation has a particular legal structure in various areas, including Los Angeles, California.
Thank you, Sharon. We have Andrew. Andrew, please go ahead.
Yes, just a question. We're assuming that the cost recovery numbers are correct, right, in this conversation? Because a lot of the conversations that we've had on prior calls call into some question whether or not they really are correct. And so I'm just trying to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
My answer had a premise in it. Yes, there's an assumption. If that assumption is incorrect, then the result changes also.
Sure. Okay. I'm not sure. With total respect to what you're saying and the validity of your math, it may not be an assumption we want to make. That's all.
I didn't make the assumption. I stated it as an assumption.
Fair enough. Okay. Point taken. Okay.
thank you.
Cheryl here, and Andrew. I think the benefit of having audio, of course, is we hear the tone, of course, of how we say things. So, in our response, I would have had the asterisks and inverted commas and anything else that can underline the if as an if the costs are.
Okay. Could you see the Eric response on the Adobe Connect? Okay. Andrew, do you want... Do you have a comment?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, that was from before. My apologies.
Okay. Okay. So if we don't have any further comment on that, maybe we can move to the next question. Kaza, did you...
I have on screen. So just to make sure that we're talking about the same part, is that if the contingency funds are actually needed for the amount estimated, where would the deficit come from? If I can express in the cost estimate, the cost increase will be transferred to other applicants. Lowering fees for one applicant automatically raises for others.
I'm sorry, can I continue? I couldn't hear you well. Can you please repeat?
I'm sorry, Rafik, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, it's okay now. Please, can you just repeat what you said before?
Yeah, it's on the notes right now in red.
Okay, yeah.
ICANN is correct in the cost estimates, then the cost increase will be transferred to other applicants, lowering fees for few applicants automatically arises to others. Should we put about motion about auction there, as Shirin suggested?
Only as an example, not as a more than an example.
Yes, thank you, Sherry. Because I know in some general network council, some people will be able to raise their options. Okay, so I think we can move to the next question, which is about, I think, IDN. It is, does the working group believe that costs will be less for IDN in small or underserved languages? If not, what is being suggested here? So I think what Shirin, please go ahead.
I don't think the work group was making any assertions that there would be a cost differential between an IDN GTLD and a non-IDN GTLD. I think what we were clearly making recommendations is that the need for proactive applicant support for a needy applicant who is going to meet an underrepresented and underserviced language or need was very high. And there... not mutually exclusive, I admit, but they are very different. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirin. Andrew, please go ahead.
Right. I agree with everything that Cheryl said. I think that inherent in our work and our responses is that this isn't really a level playing field, and that people who are coming from underserved language groups are inherently at a disadvantage based on the way that things are structured and also the particular needs of their communities. That was one of the reasons why we included some discussion of the possibility of package pricing, because in the end, it doesn't cost a whole 185 extra if you've got the evaluations that are being done by, you know, of two or three different scripts as part of this. It just takes the additional amount specifically for those scripts. But anyway, that's why I just wanted to add that in.
Thank you, Andrew. Darla, could you take notes of Cheryl and Andrew's comments?
I took very short notes. I'm going to go back to the transcript, Rafiq. Not the best note taker in the world, but I just will do the very high level and then go back to the transcript and take the more detailed ones.
It's Alan. Carla, did you mean will be more on for IDNs or less in your short note?
The short note is on the screen, says the working group is not making any assumptions the cost will be more for IDNs. This is nonetheless not a leveled field.
Yeah, but didn't he say we're not assuming it will be less, which is what the question asked?
Okay.
And I think I said different rather than more or less.
Okay. Thank you.
So should I just have it as different?
Yeah, different. Difference probably a good baseline to run from.
For ideas, this is nonetheless not a leveled field, okay?
Yeah.
So, Carla, anyway, after, can you put all this in Wikispace and then send the link to the working group so we can, after other working group members can check Bruce's answer and make comments, and then we can send later to the GNX too. Thank you very much. Okay, moving to the next question, which is saying, assuming the fees are reasonable with regard to services provided to registries, would other registries be expected to make up the deficit, or does the working group believe the fees are too high
if the latter, was any analysis done to support that position?
Yeah, Rafik, this is Carl. Isn't that the same that we already answered? That if ICANN is correct in the cost estimates, then the cost increase will be transferred to other applicants?
The answer is yes to me, from my point of view, Carla. The same question asked a different way. We need to bundle these responses.
Well, maybe we can assume it was a trick. Anyway.
Oh, Rafik, indeed we can. And we need to bundle these responses. Oh, and that's the rule for the record, because I'll only say what you can print.
Okay. We can, I think, move to the next question. We are doing great. We just have, I think, 8 minutes. Maybe we can extend a little, some few minutes, trying to finish all the questions. Sorry for that, guys, but if we finish in time, it will be more in this call. It will be more. It will be better. So, moving to the next question, could this put the registry at competitive disadvantages compared to the registry that support IPv6?
Yeah, Rafik, Carla speaking. I started putting here, or I copied and pasted Eric's answer to that. I don't know if this is acceptable for the working group. It's right now on the notes.
Cheryl here for the as a card carrying supporter of V6 usage and transition for V4 to V6, I think that's a fair and accurate comment. I think most of us out here at the edges are trying very hard to convince the end user to recognise that to go with people who are offering V6, even if it is slightly more expensive for whatever service you're deploying with them, even if it's end user and customer equipment, is a smart move. And, there may indeed be a loss of business to those who only have a V4 option. Olivier, do you have a reaction to the wonderful issues of V6 on this?
Yes, sorry, sure. My mind was just taken up by something else at the moment, so I've totally missed your question.
It's probably a film festival thingy. I was just saying that I think that what Carla's put in there from distilled from Eric's comments, which states as follows, in our opinion, no DNS provider who does not keep up with the market, which means IPv6 and DNSSEC in DNSSEC in this context, will lose business to those who do. However, this will not, in our opinion, be relevant to new registries during the initial years of operation while IPv6 requirement is deferred. How do you feel as a, you know, I'm comfortable with that. I think that's an accurate observation, sort of a buyer or not seller, beware. But I did wonder, as a fellow V6 stalwart, what you thought.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. Olivier here for the record. Yes, it is a questionable thing, actually, because, of course, if you want a new applicant to be 100% up to par with the latest technology, it's going to be very costly. But there are two sides to the coin, one being that you want them to be using the latest at the same time. You don't want them to be stuck on the old technology. But the gist of the matter is it is costly, and it might not be something that's required from day one. Certainly, the cost of implementing V6 will go down, and certainly in some countries, IPv6, the infrastructure is not there for IPv6 yet, so you would be basically precluding those communities from being able to run their own DNS service.
Thank you.
That's basically it. Thank you.
Thanks. Anna, please go ahead.
Yes, I think the Eric's answer is applicable, but there needs to be following that. Nevertheless, the working group is advocating that IPv6 gateways be provided at advantageous terms to these new registries. That's section something, I don't remember. It's the one sentence I wrote about the IPv6 gateway.
And
so reference that particular section and saying, no, we don't think they'd be at a disadvantage, but nevertheless, we are suggesting that they be given IPv6 capability at advantageous terms to provide it with. Thank you.
We Alan Cheryl here for the record, that we might even encourage ICANN to try and find an angel or two who could indeed provide such tunneling technology.
That is exactly what the recommendation says.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Carla, we should point to that particular point. I don't remember what the numbers are, but in the final answer we should.
Yes, I just wrote some things that Olivier and you said. Can you take a look at the notes?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying in our final answer we should make reference to the specific numbered item in our report that said that. I just don't have the report in front of me. It was something 3.4, something 3.4, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, I think we can move to the next question. It's what if the registry fails? Does the working group suggest the higher tolerance for failure in exchange for a smaller continued operation obligation?
And again, I just copied and pasted some of the things that Eric answered in our mailing list.
Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, the whole thing just jumped. Where is it? I'm not disputing what Eric says, but isn't the short answer that we are not suggesting higher tolerance for failure? We're suggesting that the cost of handling failure is significantly lower than what ICANN has suggested. I think we make that point somewhere in the report.
Yep.
So can you repeat that? Not higher tolerance for failure, however?
However, the work group believes that the cost of managing handling the failure or continued operation following a failure, minimal operation following a failure will be significantly less than the current ICANN estimates.
Okay. Any further comment? So we can move to the next question. It's about the graduate fees, graduate over the period of time, what happens of the if progress payments are not made on time. Any comments on that? Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, those details must be specified. We haven't yet.
Mm. Next stage. Thank you.
Our intent in the staggered fees was that they be paid in line with the work being done during the evaluation process.
Mm.
And what if they're not paid on time? That's a decision ICANN must make. Cancel the application, charge them interest.
Business 1%, 3%, 10%, 15%, you know, work it out.
Yeah, so I kind of try to combine what you just said with Eric's note to the working group. Can you take a look and see if this is it?
I would leave out that last sentence, which is, I think, is a bit belligerent. Which,
agree.
Which is how we feel right now, but I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, I think... we have the last question, which is about evaluation process and relationship.
So we are in part five, evaluation process and relationship to the new GTOD applicant group, and what the working group is asking. Is there enough time for this? I don't see any answer.
We hope so.
So the answer is we hope.
We hope so. And a smiley face.
The deity's willing, perhaps.
No, we hope so, not also.
We hope so.
Sorry, you're getting slap happy here.
Okay.
Okay. I think we still have the because my understanding that Eric sent his answer to the Wolf, and Wolf forwarded them to the council. So I'm not sure if we should answer to them or. Or not, and we have that question. I think that Cheryl answered to it, or Carlton, that question from Stefan about the IEDN thing. So, okay, I think we are done.
Yeah, so Rafiq, I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I'm going to copy and paste this and send it to the working group, incorporating some of Eric's answers as well, in addition to what we commented today. And then you can take it from there.
Good.
Yeah. Please. Just please check the other emails, maybe I think the maybe TJRI and Sintra, and even replay it. So just to check and to put other answer just in one place, so it will be more easy to review them.
Okay. So I'll do that and send the mailing list today.
Thank you very much. Okay. Ending with this item, is there any other business that you want to raise? Okay. No any other business. So...
I'm sorry, Rafiq, this is Carla.
Yes.
I have a question. So Singapore meeting is coming up, and the meetings team is already scheduling the agenda. And I want to know from this working group if you want to have any kind of public session that we have to book for right now. And that has nothing to do if we want to meet and reserve a room to meet like we did in San Francisco. That's fine. We can do that up to the last minute. But if we want to have a public session, we need to schedule a slot as soon as possible.
Just for information, I replied to Carl about that with Carlton, and we agreed that we may need a public session. But if we have any comment for the working group to confirm that, so Carla can proceed and book a room or the session, so the public session for us in Singapore meeting. Any comment? Andrew, please go ahead.
This is not about whether or not we're going to have a public session in Singapore, but I wanted to bring up another issue. You want to finish with this first?
I don't think there is any comment on that. So yeah, we can move to your. What you want to talk about? Yeah, it's okay.
Sure. No, just briefly. I know that we have talked about this IDN issue a number of times over the course of many, many months, and I wanted to bring to everybody's attention the a letter that I worked on with input from a few Jazz members, and also from people on the BC talking about IDNs and urging the board to take this issue much more seriously. And I can post that to you. We've gotten a lot of support, including from some of the Jazz's leaders, and I think that the notes very much follows the general tone of the conversations that we've had with the working group. And so we're still looking for more support and for more people to take this seriously so that they include a serious discussion of IDNs as part of this process before it goes too far down the line. I do have a link to the to the letter, and just ping me. I don't have it with me right now, but I can post it to the list right after this call. Okay.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, please.
Terrific. And for those members of the working group, Carlton, Tajani, Evan, and others who have already signed on in support of this idea, thanks very much. I do appreciate the support.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Andrew, again. So please, please send your letter. Okay. So if there is no any other business, or any other further comments.
Sorry, are we holding a call this Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, for 1 hour. Gisela, is that all you needed to know?
Fine, I'll send out the notification.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Okay, we extend to 10 minutes. I thank you, everybody, for this today call. I hope that our answer will please the GNSO Council. And the last word.
Rafik, you're not really serious about that, are you?
What?
That you hope these answers will please them.
Now, that's something on which we have consensus. Come on.
I just have some hopes.
Okay.
But anyway.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Okay, it is quiet.
Call on a nice and happy and wishful thinking note.
Thank you. Okay, so I will adjourn this call. Thank you again very much. It was really a pleasant call today.
Thank you. Thanks, Rafik. Bye, all.
Thank you.
Bye.